Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Newsmakers podcast. This is Herb Werpel, managing editor of the news. Today, we're sitting down with Ben Landers, president and CEO of Blue Corona, an inbound marketing, SEO, and analytics company, to discuss the vast impact the internet can have on HVACR contracting. We'll see you on the other side. Well, welcome, Ben. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a balmy negative 6 degrees in Maryland, so can't complain.
Yeah, I think we were dealing with negative 15 this morning here in Michigan, so count your blessings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Florida here compared to where
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
yeah.
Ben, tell us a little bit about what you do and your professional career.
Sure. So I started Blue Corona in late 2007. And before that, I worked for a couple of software and technology companies. I worked for Hotjobs.com prior to Hotjobs being acquired first by Yahoo. And then I spent some time in a specialty publishing company. And then later, actually went on to work for and own a couple home services companies. And so kind of all of that led to starting Blue Corona.
What exactly does Blue Corona do?
So I guess there's a simple way to think about it is we help home services companies, so a fair bit of HVACR and plumbing companies, track their advertising. So we show them which advertising strategies are working, which aren't, how much sales, revenue, profit they're generating from each strategy. And then we also help them create, implement, manage online marketing, lead generation campaigns, so SEO, pay-per-click, social media, things like that. And I think for a lot of our clients, we end up wearing the role of almost a virtual online marketing manager or a webmaster. We do everything from routine website updates. We track their yellow page, print advertising. Yes, people still use the print yellow pages. And, manage and oversee their blogging and SEO and things like that. So we're kind of like their go-to guy, you know, for the web.
The internet is certainly multifaceted. So let's play a little role play here. Let's pretend I'm an HVACR contractor with little to no online activity. So in your opinion, what steps should I take to build my online presence?
So I think before going into the actual steps, there's one thing that I think is very important, which is to start with an overarching framework, almost something that you can always go back to when you're faced with a should I do this or how much should I invest in that. And it's pretty simple. It's five things. You want to first track everything and make data-driven decisions. Almost everything on the web can be tracked, so you want to track everything. Don't rely on your gut intuition. You want to think of your website as an extension of your sales team. You want to think of it like a sales rep or a sales funnel, and that's an important piece. You want to, number three, recognize that the web is a big real estate game. And right now, there are some real estate that's undervalued, and there's some real estate that's overvalued. So you want to think of the web like a real estate game. You want to maximize or cost-effectively maximize your real estate. And then four, you want to always be testing. So you always want to be, once you have the tracking in place, you always want to be looking at how many visitors are coming to my website, how do I convert more of them into leads, how do I convert more leads, like a phone call, into an appointment, things like that. And the fifth and final thing is you want to be the authority for what you do in the markets that you do it. And if you're a small company, you just need to narrow your focus. So maybe you can't be the top plumber in Chicago, but you can be the top plumber or the top HVACR contractor in Winnetka, which is a north suburb of Chicago. So that's kind of your framework. Track everything, visualize the site as a sales rep, recognize that the web's a real estate game, always be testing and tracking, and be the authority. With that in mind, what would I do if I were an HVACR contractor with limited or no website activity or online activity? First and foremost, you have to recognize the website, your main website, as the foundation of kind of your online marketing real estate empire. And so I would build a website probably on WordPress and a basic website. There are people selling basic websites for a couple $100s, and there are people selling websites for $20,000+. I think for a small business, a reasonable investment to make, given the importance of the website to your business, you know, would be maybe $3,000 to $5,000. So kind of set that aside. So I would build a quote-unquote substantial website on WordPress, and I would model it off of a successful HVACR contractor in another market if you really are on a budget and just not sure where to start. That's what I would do. The second piece is you have to make sure that the right tracking tools are on that website. So that's Google Analytics with some customizations. And or in addition to Google Analytics, you want to put call tracking in place. The thing with these tracking tools is they can't go backwards. So what happens is small contractors say, oh, I don't need that tracking. I can figure out where it all comes from. And the problem is that by the time you really can use the information, you don't have it because you didn't have those tools in place. They cost peanuts, so Google Analytics is free. So you got to put the tracking tools in place from the beginning. So I'd build a website, put the right tracking tools in place, Google Analytics and call tracking. Then I would start creating content for the website. And if you can't do it on your own, you know, you can hire someone to do it for you, but you have to create content. You want to have, you know, homepage, about page, services page, testimonials page, resources type section with FAQs, contact us, schedule an appointment. Those are all like the basic pages. I would also have a blog. Even if you don't intend to use it, I would have it built into the site so that you can use it at a later date. All of that content creation is what helps you, in a way, get ranked on Google and get more traffic. So if you have no traffic, you got to build a site, you want to put the track in place, and then you want to create content. If all you did was that, you would have the foundation of a growing, you know, you'd get some website activity. I think it's also very inexpensive to take the inquiries that you get from your website and start an email newsletter, constant contact, things like that cost, again, $25 a month, just nothing. And I would take your existing clients, get their email addresses, create a segmented list of them, and then I would create another list of inquiries that you got through the website that didn't hire you. So you have kind of two different lists, the people that know you, like you, have used you, the people that have inquired, but maybe they didn't hire you for some reason. And I would send regular email newsletter correspondence to those folks. And the final thing I would do if I was just getting started is I would create a Facebook page, and I would think of Facebook for what it is. It's one part customer service desk, one part word of mouth referral testimonial generator, one part marketing. And don't create a Facebook page, have your brother, your mother, your dad like it, and that's it. That's a big disaster. I think it's almost comical when companies have their Facebook icon on their website next to their phone number, and you click it, and there's like three people that like their Facebook page, and it's like their siblings. Don't do that. So I think those are the basics. You build a basic website on WordPress, mirror it off of a company, another company that's successful, preferably in a different market so that you're not, you know, copying your competitor down the street. Put the right tracking tools in place, create great content, do an email newsletter and a Facebook page. I think if you do that to get started, you're on a better path than a lot of the folks that I talk to.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners can learn from those tips. You mentioned a few, but what are some of the most common mistakes you are seeing that companies are making when they create such an online presence?
I think the two biggest mistakes that I see are broader, but I'll throw them out anyway. A lot of small business owners, and this applies to every industry, but you see it a lot in the service world, they don't know their numbers as it relates to marketing. And so as a result, they overinvest in certain marketing strategies, and they dramatically underinvest in others. So, you know, you have to know total leads, total sales, cost per lead, cost per sale for each marketing channel that you have. So, and you want to think more granularly. So you don't, a lot of HVACR contractors say, oh, I know how many leads I'm getting from the web. You can't, saying I'm going to invest more in the web is very, that's too broad to be helpful. It's like shooting a shotgun without even aiming. You want to know how many leads you're getting from Google organic search, from Facebook, from pay-per-click, if you're doing pay-per-click, from the Yellow Pages print versus online. And you want to have a model built where you know the lifetime value of a client. So if you're a residential HVACR contractor, you know, you have repair jobs, you have replacement business, and you know, you should know, if you have any kind of operating history, about how often someone calls you again, if it's like every 3 to 5 years, how many referrals do you typically get from a client? Maybe it's on average one. Some people do more referrals. So you want to have your numbers at hand, because whether $10 per click is a great deal on pay-per-click or whether it's a fast track to running out of cash depends on those numbers. And, you know, using industry standards is pretty bad. We have an HVACR contractor that converts 30% of their calls into sales and another one that does close to 80%.
Wow.
And so it's a huge differential. And as a result, the one company, the one with the 80% close rate, can pay much more for a lead or for a website visit than the one with the 30% close rate. And there are lots of companies out there, ours included, that can help you get those numbers. So you don't have to be a Harvard MBA to try to figure all this crap out.
You mentioned the average cost for a startup website is around $3,000 to $5,000. Obviously, this work isn't being done in-house anymore. Is that correct? And is that $5,000 a pretty average number that contractors should be considering?
I mean, I think a different way to look at it. So first, I'm of the belief, and this is just a business ideology. Some people agree with it. Some people argue with me, you know, as the day is long. I believe that you should only do what only you can do. So could I do my own payroll? Yes, I have. I don't. I outsource it to a payroll company. Could some of our clients fix their own service vehicles? Yes, they can and have. I don't think that's what you should do unless you have absolutely no money. So do I think some contractors can build their own website and maintain them? Yes. There are millions, you know, maybe not millions, but there are people listening to this that will say, I've done exactly that. But I'll tell you that if you want to grow a world-class business, you're not going to be tweaking your own site. So I think outsourcing it is reasonable. And in terms of the cost, I think a lot of contractors don't recognize the relationship between what they spend, what they invest in a website or a marketing strategy, the expectation or their goals, and the time associated with achieving those goals. So, for example, if you're a $1 million residential HVACR contractor and you want to double your business in 1 year, that's going to be a much different website and budget for marketing than someone who says, you know, I'm doing $1 million, and if I do 1.25 over the next year, you know, I'll be happy. That's a much different budget. So when I throw out budget numbers, we have clients that we've literally built their website for close to free. Very, very small, one guy, one truck, and maybe we were helping them with the ongoing marketing. So we said, you know what, we'll build this for you, and you know, it's on a semi-custom template, that kind of thing. But then we've got clients that have paid, you know, $20,000 for their website and pay several thousand dollars per month ongoing, and they don't think twice about it because they're getting hundreds of leads and, you know, maybe dozens of sales and jobs through the site. And you would never look at it as, you know, when your buddy says, well, I only paid $500 for my website, and someone else says, well, gosh, I paid $3,500. The average contractor looks at a site, can look at two sites and say, well, these look about the same. I don't look at websites. That's like a car mechanic looking at two cars and saying, all right, they both have the same body. This one is got a four-cylinder, and this one has a V8. It's a much different car. You just may not recognize that. The layman may not recognize that. So I think, you know, I think about an average the range, I would say, for a very small, kind of less than a $1 million contractor, I think, you know, spending between $500 and maybe $1,200 or $1,500 a month for kind of investing in your web presence, that's not, you know, that's within the range of possibility. If you want to grow faster, you're going to need to look at, you know, spending more. If you could spend $1,000 a month and go from a $1 million business to two or three, just think about how much more competitive the market would be. I mean, where do you get that kind of return? You know, it's not reasonable. So the contractors and folks that are sort of more, I guess, business oriented, kind of recognize that, you know, if you want to grow fast and you're starting from scratch, you're going to need to have a bigger piggy bank, or you're going to have to spend more of your own time doing some of this stuff. But really, we have clients that spend $500 and people that spend much, much more because they're bigger or they have bigger goals and aspirations, or they want it all within a year or a month, or some clients want it all next week. Like, I need to triple my leads by next week. That's why I'm calling you. And you think,
don't we all?
That's kind of crazy. But it exists.
You and the staff at Blue Corona are partnering with us here at the News on a new feature where we're examining a contractor website of the month, or sort of looking at a website and just sharing why we think it's good. We're tentatively calling this column Net Results. And I know this is a tough question to answer, but quickly, what makes a great service website?
I would boil it down to three categories: findability, accessibility and content, and identity and trust. So findability, there's no point in having a site with awesome content that you've, paid all this money for if someone can't find it, a prospect can't find it in one of the commonly used channels like Google. They do a Google search. So the site has to be easy to find. That's kind of like your SEO score. Then you look at accessibility and content. So increasingly consumers use their PC at work. They use their laptop. They use a tablet. They use a smartphone to access your site. So you want to make sure that your site loads and is easy to use across multiple devices. You want to make sure that the fonts are reasonably large. If you have, older clients, you want to make sure that they can read the content. You want to make sure that your phone number and that you want. A lot of people build a website trying to be unique, and in doing so, they put information in a place where no one expects it. So a phone number these days should be, people expect it in the top right and in the footer. And so you want that. If you accept financing or credit card, you want to make sure that those logos are prominent, maybe near the phone number to reassure people. And that leads to the final category, identity and trust. Right now, there's a web reality and there's the real world. And they're two different places. And consumers are now increasingly aware of this. So you want to go above and beyond on your website to show that you're a real company. If you have a physical location, you want to put it on the site. You want to put pictures of your staff. I think a lot of local contractors hide the owner's picture and the staff members from the site. I think that's a big mistake. If you're selling local, you want to personalize it. And, if you're, an Angie's List contractor, if you're, a member of the ACCA, if you have a lot of testimonials, you want to put those badges on the site to establish, trust. The more you can make sort of clearly identify who you are and show that you're a real entity with trust, I think that's a big piece. So findability, accessibility and content, and identity and trust, those are really key attributes for an HVACR website.
Now, your company, Blue Corona, is certainly on the rise. What's in the future for you guys, and what are one or two things you can offer contractors that are listening today?
So I think one thing that we've done, we did this in the past, we're doing it again in the future. I think it's going to be really awesome. We built a piece of software that's specific to the HVACR and plumbing industry. In the past, we used it to analyze 10,000 plus contractor websites from all across the country. And the insights that came out of that were really cool. They were featured in your publication, which was awesome. We're just about to do that again, and this time we have close to 20,000 contractor websites. So I think the output of that will show business owners how their site stacks up to others in the industry and their market, what percentage of contractors are using videos on their website and stuff like that. So we're doing that. So kind of keep an eye out for an announcement about that. In terms of what we offer, I would just say that if you're a contractor and you're looking to know, if you're kind of annoyed that you don't know exactly what you're getting from the different marketing investments you're making, we can attribute or we can show you the sales, revenue, profit that you're generating from all the different advertising and marketing strategies that you invest in, including the web. And if you're if you have a website or you need a website, or you have a website and you're not getting the leads and sales that you think you should or that you'd like, give me a call and I can show you a very clear path to measurably improving the performance of your website in that regard.
Ben, what website should they visit if they are interested in getting in contact with you?
Our main website's perfect. It's blue, just like the color, Corona, just like the beer, .com, bluecorona.com.
Any last parting gifts or anything else contractors should know about the World Wide Web?
I think the mantra, and I would really call it a mantra, is track everything, be data-driven, think of the website like a sales rep, maximize your online real estate, always be testing, and be the authority. If you just keep reverting back to those, it's amazing how many of the, there's a lot of jargon in kind of people selling stuff on the web. If you just keep reverting back to those five things, I think you'll have a kick butt 2014.
Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing your expertise and your authority, Ben. We certainly appreciate it, and we know our listeners will as well.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Have a great week. See you later.
You too. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ben Landers and learned a bit more about how to effectively utilize the internet. Thanks for listening, and we encourage you to join us for the remainder of our Newsmaker series at achrnews.com or for free on iTunes. For more information on the news, visit www.achrnews.com.